Hi, this is Yvette Pansina from Search Software Quality here with Lisa Atkins. She is the author of Coaching Agile Teams, and she's taught Scrum to hundreds of students, coached many Agile teams, and served as master coach to many apprentice coaches since 2004. Welcome, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background first?
Oh, well, sure. Prior to learning about Agile, and my first exposure to Agile was from, but prior to learning about that, I was a project manager for 15 years. And very, very early on in my career, I was a DBA, a database administrator, and so I have a little tiny bit of that technical background. But very soon, people recognized that I was really good at organizing and directing people, so I got moved into the project management ranks almost immediately in my career and spent quite a long time there before coming to Agile. And Agile was just something that happened to me. I arrived at a new project management assignment, being the senior project manager, and they said, we're doing this thing called Scrum, and you're going to be a Scrum Master. So that's how I got introduced, kind of thrown right into the fire.
Uh-huh. And so tell us about your book.
So my book is something for people who are practicing Agile coaching, whether they call themselves Scrum Masters, XP coaches, Agile coaches, any of those words work. There's someone who is working with Agile teams and has gotten into the nitty-gritty of it and says, oh my goodness, what do I do now? All of these situations that come up.
Okay. How would you say it differs from being a strong manager or a leader? It seems like a lot of the concepts that I was reading about would apply whether you were on an Agile team or a traditional team or a manager in general.
Yeah. I think Agile calls for leadership in a way that other ways of working don't. And that's why a lot of the things I talk about in my book are integrating different styles of leadership. It's also integrating different disciplines like facilitation and conflict mediation, all those sorts of things. Because although those would be used in waterfall or other iterative methods or anything else like any way of working that you want to try, working in an Agile team, you have the urgency built in to the time-boxed iteration. You have a very short period of time to get things done, and that tends to bring out all of the glories and the warts in people pretty darn quickly, both sides of the equation. And so I find that when you are a coach of an Agile team, you are called to step up those leadership skills pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the, obviously, Agile coaches and it promotes a lot of collaboration, but collaboration can also be something that traditional teams, as well as having deadlines. So if a traditional team that's doing a waterfall approach does have some of the same components that Agile teams have, if they want to really promote communication and collaboration and iterative development and time boxes, even if they perhaps don't call them time boxes, would you not have the same kind of concepts and apply the same skills that an Agile coach would in those environments?
I think you can, and I would hazard a guess to say it would be less successful. And here's why I think that. Waterfall approaches, or any approach that makes people be parts of a machine, that each person is producing their piece and handing it off to the next, even if we come together for collaboration events along the way. What this does is inherently make it so all we can produce is the sum of the parts. That's the very best we can ever do in that kind of situation. When you put people in a really rich collaborative environment and you are using the practices and the principles of Agile frameworks, so team members in high bandwidth communication with one another all the time, not just in meetings, a compelling vision that everyone can understand, and the flexibility and, in fact, the freedom to do the work the way the team sees fit as long as they produce the result. When you have those things going on, then I think you have a chance to come up with something that is more than the sum of the parts, can be actually an astonishing result. And I see this all the time on Agile teams. And even though I applied some of these same leadership or other skills in my non-Agile work life, never, ever got the same results. Never even got close to the same kind of stellar results that I constantly get as a normal thing with Agile teams. So there is something special here. And sure, you can use the same skills in both environments, but I'd say don't expect the same results.
Okay. So one of the things your book talks about is the difference between a traditional project manager and an Agile coach. Can you tell our listeners some of the ways that those two things are different, those two roles differ?
Yeah, I think that for me, at some point, I had to just stop using the phrase project manager to describe myself. Because I found that when I used that phrase, other people, and even in my own mind, I had a notion of how I behaved as a project manager and what I and others would expect of me. And they were things like driving to outcomes, being in charge, representing the team, those sorts of things. None of those are what an Agile coach does. Instead, an Agile coach is very interested in using the framework of Agile and, in fact, releasing the team into the framework of Agile for them to figure out many of those things. And the Agile coach is solely interested in product and team performance. And that's a very different thing than driving to deadlines and deliverables.
Who is held accountable if the team doesn't make their deliverables?
Well, in most Agile frameworks, there's kind of a triumvirate of accountability. There is a product owner. Some people call this the customer role, depending on which Agile framework you're in. That person is responsible for the success of the product in the marketplace. They're the ones with the compelling vision. They're the person who needs the product to be built. The team is responsible for producing a product of high quality that meets that need, the need the product owner is expressing. And the Agile coach is the person responsible for the process, for actually clearing the way for the team to produce their product. So it is a shared accountability, with each person being naturally responsible for what their job entails.
Okay. How would you recommend gaining skills necessary? If someone read your book and said, yes, I am on board, I feel like I want to be an Agile coach, I'm very excited about this, what can they do to gain those skills, or what's a career path towards Agile coaching?
Yeah, so there's lots of courses and lots of online sorts of learning that you can do. I will tell you that that your learning is going to be served to you by your team. So I would say the first thing to do is to get into a position where you are being the Agile coach of the team. You could be a Scrum Master, an XP coach, an Agile coach. It doesn't really matter what terms or what flavor your organization is using. And if you can't do it in your work life, do it in your volunteer life. I have coached church teams. I've had people in my classes go and coach their kids' soccer teams, help their parent-teacher associations. All these sorts of things are available to you. So go and get experience, because in that experience, you are going to see what your limitation is very clearly. And when you see what that limitation is, or what it is that team needs, that's what you go and learn.
So could a person that, let's say somebody's unemployed and they volunteer, for maybe an open source project or that kind of thing, and volunteer to be a Scrum Master. Is Scrum Master considered an Agile coach then, or is that a different role?
I think that the words are used so differently everywhere. Here's how I think of it. A Scrum Master could absolutely be an Agile coach. And to me, an Agile coach is anyone who takes their teams beyond getting the practices and principles of Agile up and running and into the team's deliberate and joyful pursuit of high performance. So like when they are really, they've got the whole basics, set of basics down, and they are really ready to go into, wow, what can we now create as a team? Oh, that was good. Let's go one better and one better.
Mm-hmm.
That's an Agile coach.
Okay, great. Do you have any last words of advice for our listeners about Agile coaching? What do you want them to know most?
I want them to know that this is the best thing that ever happened to me in my career. And I was a very successful project manager by any standard, by any measure. And And until I ran into Agile, I didn't know what I was missing. And I didn't know the power of people. In fact, I would say most people on my teams were a little bit powerless, and it was up to me to fill the gaps and help them out and make sure they knew what to do. And when I saw what can happen with a healthy Agile team, I thought to myself, my goodness, these people are creative, they're resourceful, they're quality-minded, they know what to do, and all on their own. So that's not where I need to focus anymore. Now I need to focus on helping them get more of that. And I tell you, that's a lot better than wondering about, oh, what's the next thing on the schedule? Where's the deadline? Who's doing what to whom, and where is the next deliverable coming from? Way better.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Lisa. I guess I will be seeing you at Agile 2010 in Orlando soon. So.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll be looking forward to it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Beth.